Coaches, we've all been there before, watching unforced turnovers, bad decision-making, and losing games we shouldn't. That's why our friends at PGC Basketball have created the first-of-its-kind Point Guard Masterclass. Because if you want your team to win championships, high basketball IQ is a must. Discover the teachings and secrets of the game to help your players make better decisions, create easier scoring opportunities, and more. There are two ways to dive in. You can register yourself, or you can sign up your entire team and complete the masterclass together for maximum impact. Whichever option you choose, you'll be glad you did the next time your team takes the court. Visit pgcbasketball.com and sign up today.
Welcome to the Hardwood Hustle Podcast, where we know and believe in the value of a coach. We're here to educate, empower, and encourage you to lead like never before.
If you've been listening the last few episodes, you know that we shared the news and announcement that I was going to be stepping away from the Hardwood Hustle at the end of a four-episode series that was going to take us up until the end of 2020. Today's episode is that final episode. We are joined by our new co-host who joins us all episode long. At the time of this recording, it will be released around the end of the new year as we begin the new 2021 year. And we thought it was appropriate to talk about just a general thought process, a metaphor that can help us approach this upcoming year in a powerful way. And we discussed that in detail for the first half of the episode. And then TJ gives me the opportunity to kind of finish this up, and I take some time to reflect and to give appreciation and thanks. And admittedly, it was tough. We just finished recording it a few hours ago, actually, and it was emotional. And this whole day's been emotional. You know, when you spend 6 years doing something and 600 episodes and you really just enjoy it, it's just tough. So, you know, certainly we'll hear some emotions from me, and I hope you listen. And just know if you are listening and you make it through to the end, you know, I'm so thankful for you and really appreciative of that. But nonetheless, I share more in the episode. I'll let us jump into that. So without further ado, today's Hardwood Hustle episode up next.
TJ, how deep is your well? You may think, what does that even mean? Right? How deep is your well? And Sam, same question for you. How deep is your well? I recently heard a phrase that got me thinking. And in light of the timing of this episode releasing at the end of 1 year, as we begin a new year, everybody always wants to start out their best, right? They want to begin new, begin fresh and reinvigorated. And especially after the year of 2020, everybody wants a clean slate, a fresh start, a healthy beginning. And I think one thing as coaches, we need to ask ourselves the question, how deep is our well? Recently heard a quote that said, when times are challenging, you better have a deep well to pull from. And just to give a little context and background on what that essentially means, it's metaphorically speaking, this well, like let's use the reference of joy. I live a joyful life. Well, is that only in the midst of joyful circumstances, or am I able to live a joyful life even when things get challenging because I'm able to dig deep into the reserve, right? I have it deep within me that I'm able to pull it out. I think about things like patience. People will say, oh yeah, you know, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good with patience. I've got pretty good patience. But the moment their patience gets tested, they snap. Right. So, yes, they may have a little patience, but they're well. It's not full. There's not a lot of reserve to pull from. It's pretty shallow and empty. And I thought it would be helpful, guys, and healthy to have this conversation about what can we as coaches, as leaders, do to fill our well, right? To have a deep reserve to pull from, because I think that helps our whatever area, right? Our confidence well, our joy well, our resiliency well, our patience well. I mean, there's so much. So TJ, I'm trying to turn it to you first and foremost. I don't know if you've heard that concept of how deep is your well, but where does it get you going and thinking?
Yeah. You know, specifically gets me going. The quote that's always stuck with me is dig your well before you're thirsty, you know? And I think about that when, you're talking about how deep is your well. And I relate it to coaching a lot is, I mean, most of the time coaches, I think, are in emergency mode, right? Like you all of a sudden have conflict and adversity, and then you try and handle it rather than have dug a well of how to handle conflict and adversity and prepare the ground to have conflict and adversity. And I think so many times coaching is reactive, and I think it's reactive because the well is not deep enough. And I think that we would all be better served. It doesn't matter whether it was coaching or life, to have good wells dug. And I think that can mean a lot of different things, but that's the first place that I go with it, is thinking about how reactive we are in so many elements of life. When we'd be served well, we'd be served well to prepare and dig that well before it actually is needed.
Sam, same question for you. Like where does your mind start going when you hear this?
I started thinking about this, which is, I don't know if either one of y'all, actually, I know TJ has. So, but you ever been in a moment where you're like, ooh, you said something, you're like, oh, I wish I could take that back. Immediately after you said it, you realize I shouldn't have said it. And I think about this. I think it's about getting your heart in the right place, or your roots, so that your fruits are right. You know, your words, your actions, those being the fruits, and your heart being the root. Usually our actions and our words are just coming from wherever our heart is, which, you know, puts thoughts in our brain and our mind. So that's what I think is, like, am I consistently, and this is why I try to live my life this way, but of course I fall short, is like, am I consistently listening to the right things? Am I consistently reading the right things? Am I working out consistently to get my mind and body in the right places so that I am prepared for anything that comes at me in life? Because adversity is going to come and I'm going to be challenged and I'm going to fall short. But if I can consistently get my root, which is my heart, in the right place, I feel like my words and actions will follow.
I think John Gordon used that phrase, roots and fruits. I don't know if you've heard that before. It's very catchy, but Essentially what you just said, right? Like your root's going to produce the fruit. You know, I think about this health well, or the well, when I think about it from a health perspective, you know, when you've got a deep well from a health perspective, sickness can come in and it doesn't phase you as much as someone whose well may be shallow, right? Someone who has a shallow well, they experience some type of sickness. It shakes them. It rattles them at a greater capacity. You know, I think difficult circumstances like this past year of 2020, you know, even those that are joyful people, you know, those ones that like make other people crazy and make, oh man, they're just always so happy. Even those folks that have got deep wells of joy, they've even been tested in the course of 2020. Even though they've got joy reserves all the way down, right? So I can only imagine those individuals who don't have a reserve of joy in their well, how difficult this year has been. But it just challenges us and reminds us how important it is to dig that well. It says, it is well when your well is deep, right? It is well when your well is deep, when you've built this well. And for me, I'll be honest, guys, I think, and I'm curious your opinion, I almost think it's equally, if not more so, important to make sure you are preventing the things that dries up your well than it is looking for things to fill up your well. You know, does that make sense? Like, I don't know if it's more important or if it's equally important, but I think it may be, because for me, I don't even have to go out of my way intentionally on a day in and day out basis looking to fill my well. Although I do, I need to be even more concerned to make sure things aren't empty in my well. Like that they aren't coming in and disrupting my confidence, my joy, like that I'm not allowing my well to be emptied. I almost think that could arguably be more important than sometimes even filling it. TJ, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes we get in the rat race of just trying to put water in the well, in all of these different wells. And it's been my experience.
Like, what if it's leaking out? You know what I mean? Or like, What if someone's taking a, what are those, turkey baster, right? Pulling it out, right? Sucking it out of you.
Yeah. And I think the reality of it is sometimes, you know, life ebbs and flows. And sometimes, you know, you might be able to put 10 gallons of water in one well and only 1 gallon in another well. And I think the important thing is to just keep putting the water in the well. And it might not always go. I think, you know, if we're, you know, we're all three really motivated people here, and in our perfect day, you know, we put a bucket of water in our spiritual, a bucket of water in our family, a bucket of water. But we also know that there's times when work gets crazy, and we know there's times when things hit us in the face, and we know there's time. And so I think one of the ways to keep your wells filled is to not be discouraged and just keep bucketing the water, and knowing that over the course of this month, over the course of this year, when that moment comes, there will be water in my well. And I think knowing there was water in your well is confidence, you know, knowing that you have the ability to handle things because you filled up those reserves. I think the visual that came to mind for me is, you know, somebody talking about the end times, and you're eating dinner with your family, and what would you do in that moment if you knew everything was about to go and be over? And the man at the head of the table said, I'd ask him to pass the mashed potatoes. You know, and that's a well just with good reserves. Like, you've been doing it every day. And I think that's that confidence. You filled up the water that you've gotten to this point. And I think that's where you want to be, you know, like, you know, that, my gosh, I didn't want to be sick, and I don't want this sickness to be here, but I have tried to fill up my health reserves so that I can handle this better. Like, and you have a confidence about it. And I think that's true. And, you know, whether it's, you know, your kids, that's one of the hardest ones, feel so out of your control, right? Like, and for all those coaches that are coaching young kids, like, you know, there's going to be problems, and you cannot, no matter how much water you bail, there's going to be leaks in the boat, and there's going to be those issues. But have you filled up enough, and do you have enough reserves to say, you know what, I'm prepared for this? And I think that that's why we're constantly needing to fill those wells, is so that we have that when that time comes.
Mm. That's powerful. I love that story. The final meal story. I absolutely love that.
Yeah. And Adam, back to your original statement, I think you said, you know, if I heard you right, like, you're trying to keep the things that empty the well out of your life. Right. But I also would take I agree. I think I'd just say, and I personally do like certain obstacles that come in and challenges, because I want it to test me and to see, is my root really grounded with strong roots? Because if not, it exposes it and it shows me, okay, well, I got to get better here. So I think too, the challenges and the things that do empty our well are just as important, because that's what, you know, builds us and makes us who we are.
I love the connection there then, Sam, of self-awareness, right? Because when the adversity comes in and it challenges it or potentially exposes it, your self-awareness then begins to evaluate, am I strong enough in this area? Am I healthy enough in this area? Is my root strong enough in this area? And you're right. You know, and I think in 2020, I think some of our wells got exposed, if we're being honest, right? The joys in people's lives probably got tested. The patience in people's lives got tested. You know, the ability to live in peace with others despite differing opinions and perspectives probably got tested over the course of this year. Our wells got exposed. And in some cases, they demonstrated there's a healthy reserve there. You're able to stay strong during it. And there's other moments where it exposed. And if you're aware enough and you actually take the time to evaluate yourself from a self-awareness perspective, maybe as you go into 2021, maybe that is a well that you want to make a intentional effort to fill, right? Because you do realize, okay, 2020, for example, it disrupted your joy. You were depressed. It was tough. You struggled. And I'm not saying you didn't have reason to be, but I think if we're being honest, you'd prefer not to be as we move forward. So maybe one of the things is making sure your joy reserve isn't in things outside of your control, for example, right? Because I think we saw a lot of that this year. A lot of people's joy is found in things that can be taken away very quickly, right? And that's a scary place to be. So it can cause us. So Sam, I like what you were saying, like the self-awareness dynamic. I'm going to go back to you, Sam, that self-awareness dynamic. How intentional are you to be monitoring the strength of your root or well?
Well, I'd like to say I'm real intentional with it. But I also, yeah, there's a need for improvement there. I think the way that I assess, I mean, the end of a year and the beginning of a new year is great for assessing where you're at. That's one thing I like. Like, I'm not real big on New Year's goals and resolutions. I think I see so many people set these things, and I just rather live that way consistently. But in the last two or three years, I have gotten more intentional with using this time to do that. And so it is a great time to see where we're at with our well. And I think one way I do that is checking in with people close to me and getting honest feedback, whether it be Sarah, my wife, or close friends, or, you know, one of you guys. So I think that's one way of measuring, not just because we have blind spots, right? I have my blind spots. So I think it's good to get the outside voice and opinion on where we're at too.
TJ, can you think of a well that is emptied a little bit in your life over the last year or so that you've recognized an emptying of it and also made an intentional effort to refill?
Yeah. You know,
I know I'm putting you on the spot there on that, yeah, but
I think the one that is a challenge, or it maybe exposes the challenges of like what wells I need to be pouring in. And me a little bit more than you guys, because my kids are a little bit older, right? Two teenagers now, and a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old. And I think anybody that's had kids, and I think anybody that's coaching has experienced this, but it's even different when it's your own kids. I think all your best laid plans and the water you've poured into the well of being a parent, like you can never pour in enough, and you never know exactly like what to expect. And you think you're going to have all the patience in the world for your child, and you think that you're going to have all the right words, and you think that, you know, you're going to be able to show them all these other things that, as oftentimes we look at other parents and think, oh, they don't know what they're doing, or they don't know how to, you know, pour into this child. They don't know how to. And I think that's the well that constantly challenges is me, is because being a parent is really hard. And sometimes I'm unaware of how to pour into my well to be better for them, because that is a diverse well, like when you're leading young people, because some part of the well is just your own well-being. You need to be the best version of yourself so you can show up for the best version of them. You need to pour into your well of mentorship. You need to pour into your, there's a lot of wells that go into being a good leader, specifically in leading people that you love and you're emotionally connected to. And so that's a well that I find always challenging and always needing water in my life.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And Sam, I'm going to ask you here in a second the same question, but if you're listening to this and as you're evaluating, you know, end of the year, as we approach the new year, you know, what wells in your life over the past 12 months would you say you demonstrated a large reserve of that well, a healthy amount in that well, where you went through this year and it didn't shake, it stayed strong? And what areas of your life do you admit that, you know, the well wasn't as full as you may have thought? And Sam, I'm going to ask you for both your wells that you think you've demonstrated that they're in a good place from this past year, but also one or two where you think you've struggled. I'll start to give you a little bit of time. And I know TJ just alluded to it. My patience well, I recognize needs to increase. I need to fill up. And I thought I was a very patient individual. This year has tested my patience with my kids. I think just being all in the same house, nonstop, day in and day out, I found myself just being a little bit more short, a little quicker to that end of the rope there, you know, with my kids, of getting frustrated. Whereas if you would have asked me prior to quarantine and all that, are you a patient person? I would have said, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think so. But boom, the moment it gets tested, it identifies how much you have in your reserve. I need to fill a little bit more. I've got to work on that in 2021. On the flip side, I'll say, you know, my joy was, well, I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of it. I think this year, even in the midst of the challenges, even in the midst of the circumstances, I believe that I was able to go through this year very joyful every day, choosing joy. And I think I built my joy reserve at the perspective of, not to get biblical, but just using where it came from a context perspective. Everyone always references the famous scripture verse of, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13. It's one of the most highly quoted, especially within the sports world. But if you read around it, the context of it is essentially Paul saying, I'm in the midst of nothing. I'm sitting here in jail with nothing, in the worst circumstances. But even in the worst circumstances possible, I can remain joyful and at peace, because through Christ, I can do all things who gives me strength. So I think about my joy all the time of, this may sound weird, but if I was by myself with nothing, would I still be joyful? Do I need other things to bring me joy? And I don't want that to be the case. I want to be able to be joyful in and of itself by myself. So I think my reserve was pretty well. I think my confidence reserve this year was in a healthy place too. You know, and I think sometimes it's good to recognize the good things, you know, if you've done well and performed well. I think confidence wise, I've remained very confident about different things I'm doing and things like that. I would say, I look back and say that reserve is pretty full. Sam, turn it over to you. What do you think? A well that's full and a well that needs filling.
I think your question is exposing the fact that I need to do a little more better job of self-assessment awareness here, because I got to on the fly here. You know, what I would say is, I feel like my spirit, building off what you said, my spiritual well is in a really good spot and has been the last couple of years. Ironically enough, like, I think during this time though, to steal from you, my patience, I found myself getting more impatient with my kids. Maybe it's being home more and being around them, but reacting in a way that I shouldn't react. And if I was critiquing myself, I'd be coaching myself up pretty hard on being more patient. And then, you know, I think also just for me, during COVID, I've eaten more meals at home with my family than I had, like, combined. Like, so if you take a 5 month period, than I had maybe, I don't say this in a prideful way, but in the last like 2 years, that exposed to me a well where maybe my family well wasn't very full, because maybe I'm prioritizing professional things over them and not that I don't think I've failed as a father and a husband, but just being home more has exposed, I need to maybe reconfigure my professional lifestyle to be more conducive to my family. So I hope I'm answering that question in a direct way. So yeah, needing to fill my family well up more, and how to do that in a balancing with my professional life. So that's what I've learned and am learning.
Good perspective. TJ, anything you want to add? I know I started with you on that, but.
You know, I think oftentimes it's judging our own wells, and I think the outside perspective really can help, because I find myself most judgmental of my own wells, you know, like thinking to myself, whereas you have a positive outlook, like and feeling confident about your wells. There's a lot of wells I feel like I've poured into, but no matter how much I pour into, I feel like I fall short. And so I think balancing your perspective, because we're usually bent one way or another, right? Like, and some of us do a better job. I don't know that I always do a great job of putting that into perspective. And so that's where I think another person's opinion, like Sam mentioned earlier, can really help. A person like myself who can, I wouldn't say be negative, but can also always wonder if I'm doing good enough. Like, am I there, can benefit from another set of eyes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I hope this conversation about how deep is your well in the different areas inspired you as you are processing what you want to attack and how you want to live and who you want to be as you approach 2021. You know, whether you're big into resolutions or not, I think we all can appreciate quote unquote clean slates, right? We all can appreciate new beginnings and starting off with the right foot. And everyone's got different approaches. I use the one word, right approach. That's one of the ones that I've used, and everyone's got different styles, but regardless, we've got to evaluate the wells in our lives, right? And assess how deep are they and how healthy are they? Make sure they're staying full, making sure things aren't emptying out.
So what's going to be your word this year, Adam?
My word this year is health, actually. And you know, I just think this past year was immeasurably, right? Immeasurably. My prayer was that God would do immeasurably more in me and through me than I ever could imagine. Kind of builds on Ephesians 5:20. And it has. It's played out that way for many, many reasons in many different ways, immeasurably more than I ever could imagine. As I go into 2021, it's health. Very general, but has a lot of different applications. My spiritual health, making sure it's essentially strong. You could almost say the health and the well are tied in connection here. Wanting to make sure my spiritual health stays really strong, my relational health, my marriage health, right? My physical health. I think those, you know, a lot of times as coaches, we always talk about balance, work-life balance. And I've moved away from that word about 2 years ago and not even trying to wrestle with work-life balance, because when you say work-life balance, you're essentially saying that there's a standard that you should attain. But who created that standard? Like, what does it mean in a 40-hour week, you know, is the quote-unquote model balance supposed to be this many hours of sleep, this many hours of family, this many hours of kids, this many hours of work? You know, like, is there an actual blueprint for that? I don't think so. But I do think, so we're trying to fight for a balance that none of us even know what the actual goal of that looks like, where I think health, we all have a good grasp of what healthy looks like, I believe. I think most people would recognize, is your marriage healthy? And would have a good idea and say yes or no. Is your relationship with your kids healthy? Is your spiritual life healthy? Are you physically healthy? So for me, it's about health. Just making sure the priorities in my life are at the greatest health. And I shared with you all before we jumped on, it kind of builds on a little phrase that I have this year going into 2021, fewer yet greater. Right, I'm going to have fewer things on my plate going into 2021, but I want them to be greater. I want them to be healthier than ever before. So you could almost say fewer yet healthier, fewer yet greater. So that's my word. Anyone else doing a word?
I've been mulling mine over. I want to land on it, but I've been mulling it over.
Okay.
Yeah, mine's hardwood hustle. Two words,
or one very long word. Hardwood hustle. Well, listen, guys, as we wrap up here, the final four of our final episodes together, and the road is about to end here for me. Sam's going to be taking on as you go into 2021 as the new co-host, and we've obviously documented the decision and the announcement. And for me, you know, 6 years and 600 episodes is crazy. It's crazy. It's so much. But it's been so incredible. I've been doing this thing, if you follow me on Instagram, each day, kind of like a daily memory of the hustle. And as I was putting all that together, the memories are just through the roof. They're absolutely through the roof. And I wanted to take a few moments and just thank a few people for going back from the beginning, because I haven't spent any time thanking anyone. But I want to go back and obviously I want to thank two individuals, Alan and MJ. And I'll start with MJ, Mike Johnson. MJ was our producer when we first started The Hustle, and he was my business partner at the time with the sports network, and he just tech guy. I mean, he is so sharp from a technology standpoint. I never would have even gotten into podcasting ever if he didn't invite me back in 2007. Think about this. Podcasting, people say it's the boom, that we're in the podcasting boom. My guy, MJ, was podcasting in 2007. He had a studio with video cameras in his house where him and his buddies would get together and they would talk. And he invited me over to talk about my charity golf event that I was hosting each year. And I'm like, this is crazy. This is so cool. And then launched the idea to do a podcast and him produce it and all that. If it wasn't for him, The Hustle probably wouldn't be here. All right, I probably wouldn't be podcasting. We probably never would have started that initial ball. Or at least it would look a lot different than it is. Secondly, I want to give a tremendous shout out to Alan Stein. And Alan and I, we were hosted together for 3 years, had incredible, incredible time together, incredible run. You know, Alan is an absolute go-getter. and he goes and gets it. He gets things done, very detailed, very organized, very motivated. And I mean, I'd be lying to say the Hustle wouldn't be what it is today without Alan Stein. With the momentum that he put in place at the beginning, the things that he was able to bring together, to bring sponsors together and partners together and guests on the show. I mean, Alan, I mean, he took this podcast that we were doing together and just really helped catapult it to the next level. And I'm thankful for Alan and that opportunity. I'm also thankful for Rich Seslowski. All right, and I'll say Rich and Jeremy Stein. I'll start with Jeremy. Jeremy, Alan's brother, he was the marketing guru, the graphic guy. He did all the promotion of the podcast. He was doing our website and just videos and photos. I mean, he just was covering so much. And he was really just an incredible resource for us. And Rich, at the time, CEO of Better Basketball, was kind of our anchor sponsor. And just the support that Rich had and everything for the show and just all that he did as a mentor for myself, for Alan, for the show. Incredible, right? So thankful for Rich and the friendship and his mentorship over those years was incredible. I'll say shout out to you guys. Thankful for you guys at PGC, Mono, Tyler, TJ, Sam, the whole community. I'm looking right over here to my right, Snaps flyer hanging on my wall. Right, man, the Hardwood Hustle, I felt like took, you know, catapulted because of events like Snaps and because of PGC's support and sponsorship and TJ's halftime talk and Mono's influence and just excitement and enthusiasm for the podcast platform that we had and broadcasting that Final Fours together even before we came co-hosts, doing different things at the NABC conventions. Just incredible what you guys have done and just how much you all have just invested in me. The friendships, man, just the family. Like, you know, my mom said, like, man, you've never met a friend or you've never met a stranger, right? Because strangers are friends, which then means for me, my friends are family. And I view you guys as family much more than friends. And just through this podcast is what we've been able to grow and develop as just friends and how much I look up and, you know, y'all inspire me so much. Like just your mentorship, how y'all handle yourselves. I've said this many times to Samantha. I get a lot of compliments. People are like, oh, Adam, you're doing good. I step in the presence of you two. I step in the presence of Mono, Tyler Costin. And I'm like, man, I've got so much further to go. Because y'all just live at such a high level. And it inspires me. And it's driven me so much more than y'all probably even know. So I just want to thank you guys so much for that. Additional sponsorships, Team Snap, Davion Ross and Shot Tracker and Company, Crossover early on and Basu and Vertimax and all their support. My guy Tucker, we can't forget Tucker. Been producing these shows for the whole time. We've been together, TJ, right? The whole time. I want to give a shout out to Ashton Owens, who helped with the branding. I want to give a shout out to Adam Harrington, who, you know, certainly played a big role as we transitioned the Hustle to kind of just elevate everything. And I think last but not least, I just want to thank all the coaches. You know, I've developed so many friendships, like friendships that are legit, like people that I can rely on in life that are just like core people in my circle that, man, have just shown so much love and support over the years that they're just incredible, incredible people. And I don't want to go and just name them all, but like, they know, like we're texting all the time. Like they're really strong friendships and just their support ongoing over the years has just been really, really incredible. So listen, gentlemen, 6 years, 600 episodes. And no surprise, I'm getting emotional because it's emotional, right? When you invest in something, you care about something, to walk away. But as I said in a previous episode, it's like I'm a graduating senior walking away on senior day, right? Knowing I'll forever be part of the program and wanting the best for the program forever and ongoing, because when it grows and it succeeds, it'll be somewhat of a reflection of me and I'll be able to be a proud kind of partner cheering alongside. So guys, I just want to celebrate you two once again. Best of luck as you all go into 2021 with the hustle. And I appreciate you guys so much.
Yeah. And Adam, you know, all of those things that you just shared and all of those people, and we all know what goes into all those relationships and effort and time, but the one true common thread of all of that and 600 episodes later, 6 years later, none of that is true. None of those relationships are reality if the common core component wasn't there, and that's been you. You know, and so you may be a graduating senior, but I think you're actually a little more than that. You know, you're a president, you're a leader, you're a graduating senior, you're a friend, you're all of those things to the Hardwood Hustle. And, you know, I've said it before, and I don't know that I have a better compliment than it, because I don't know there is a better one. But when you leave something better than you found it, and when something lives beyond you, you've created something most will never create. And so I just think that that's just freaking special, man. I just think it's really, really special. And being on this journey with you has been a blessing to me, to watch you and Samantha and your marriage and you two grow, and to watch you become parents, and just your whole life journey is an inspiration. And I'm so glad so many have been able to hear it. And that you've been able to give that gift of joy that you have, one that the Lord has anointed you with. You have given it freely, and you've given it kindly to so many people. And man, I salute you for the wondrous works you've done.
I appreciate that. Thank you, TJ.
So, yeah, Adam, I would say, I'm just sorry to jump in real quick. You know, you said you look up to, you know, you mentioned looking up to some of the PGC team. And I say, you know, we look up to you, man. And there's a four letter C word that you used a moment ago that I think sums up who you are. And the word is care. You know, you getting emotional shows how much you care about people. You care about doing a good job. You care about how you show up, and it shows in, you know, how emotional you get and naming off all these relationships. So I think that's one of the greatest, compliments or characteristics that somebody can have is care. And so, yeah, man, just appreciate you and who you are.
I appreciate that, Sam. Thank you all so much. Well, I'm excited to hear the next chapter of The Hustle. As always, I'm Adam. He is TJ. Together with Sam, we are The Hardwood Hustle. We're out.
Coaches, the holidays are here, and for just $17.95, you can treat yourself to a month of unrivaled tools and resources with a Key 5 Coaching Starter membership. For only $17.95, you'll get access to the entire Key 5 Coaching video library, a monthly masterclass, 20 in-depth courses, and Key 5's popular Complete Zone Attack Package and Ultimate Preseason Package. This holiday, give yourself the gift of next-level teachings and strategies. Visit Key5Coaching.com and discover how to enjoy the journey, win more games, and have a lasting impact.